What up, what up, what up? This is your man Dre Day from Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and I have a public service announcement for all you listeners out there. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground in 2018, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other places people like to listen? Also, where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join. Oh, one thing, you can record your episode from your phone or computer. So again, go to anchor.fm/start to join. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up? What's up? What's up? This is episode 280, episode 280 of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here, NFL recap from the previous week, which was week 7. But I'm going to change it up this week. I'm not going to do my recaps from the games. What I will do is, like, I really want to speak on something very, very, very important. And what I want to speak on is three quarterbacks in particular. I want to speak on three specific quarterbacks, and then I'm going to do my usual shit, which is my game picks and my offensive and defensive player of the week awards for last week. So I want to do something different this week. There's three quarterbacks in general that I want to speak about. Because these three quarterbacks, in my opinion, one career should already be over because he announced his retirement and then he came back. Another one, I honestly just think that he just doesn't care about football. Actually, I think both of them don't really care about football no more, but I just think one of them is just a horrible leader. And when you win certain awards, you get a pass for the way you talk and the way you handle things. And then the other quarterback, I think he just committed a robbery with the franchise that he just went to, with them paying all this money for him, and he's playing horrible this season. So the first one I want to speak about is obviously my guy Brady. Now, it's like a broken record when I speak about Tom Brady. Because the reason being is because everybody knows how Tom Brady how I feel about Tom Brady. He is the GOAT. He's my favorite quarterback of all time. He's not my favorite player of all time. But it's like, y'all know it already. The loyalty to him is there. It's not easy for me to do what I'm doing as far as being pissed off with him, because that's what it is. I'm pissed off with him this season, because what you're doing right now is the one thing that you did not want to do in all of your years in New England, and that was destroy your legacy. And what you're doing this season, as far as playing and what your performance is, you're messing up your legacy. Now, I get it. He's already the GOAT. He's the undisputed GOAT. You know what I'm saying? When you think of GOATs of the NFL, it is Tom Brady. When you think of the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, Tom Brady is the first head on that Mount Rushmore. When he decided to come back this season, everybody that knows me knows I was not excited. I wasn't one of those fans jumping up for joy saying, oh, terrific Tom is back. Psycho Tom is back. No, I didn't do none of that because I wasn't excited. Because I knew this was a bad idea. I just knew it was a bad idea. You have nothing left to prove. Nothing. Nothing left to prove. So what happens? You come back, and right now, at this moment, he's probably having the worst season since 2002. We're now in week number 8. And Tom Brady has 8 touchdowns and 1 interception. That's his stats. 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. Now, the interceptions I'm okay with. He has 1 interception, and that was the first game against the Cowboys. But them 8 touchdown passes, what's going on with that? You're the all-time leader in touchdown passes. And in 7 weeks, because we're about to go into 8th week, you can only garner up 8 touchdowns. Now, I get it. The offensive line has been to shit. Injuries, having rookies, the receiving core. I don't know what's going on with the receiving core. Take this game against the Panthers, for example. He threw a wide open pass to Mike Evans. Probably the easiest touchdown pass he ever could have caught. And he dropped it. And you let Mike Evans tell it in an interview. He said that drop pass basically sucked the life out of the team. Now, I'm not saying that they would have won the game had he made that pass, because let's be real. These last 2 losses against the Steelers and the Panthers shouldn't have happened. These are teams that have that the Bucs have no business losing to. None. See, luckily for them, the division they're in is so weak right now that if they was to make the playoffs, it'd be by default. Because they're definitely not going to be one of the top teams in the NFC because of their record now. The point is this. What's going on with Tom Brady off the field has been a distraction for this team. I don't care which way they try to slice and dice it. Now, I respect the fact that his offensive line came to his defense when we all saw the video of him chewing them up against the Steelers. They came to his defense. I think one of them even said, you know, they liked that he did that because it shows that he cares. Now, we've seen this with him in New England. We've seen him get at receivers. We've seen him get at offensive coordinators. We've seen him get at his offensive line. But with all the stuff that is going on this season off the field, it has been a distraction for this man. Okay? This was more of a reason on why he should have stayed retired. It's that simple and plain. He should have stayed retired. The man should have stayed retired. This season alone, we've seen things from Brady that we've never seen when he was in New England. Missing walkthroughs, not flying with the team. These are two things that we've never seen Tom Brady do when he was in Foxborough at all. Now, if y'all remember any of these things that he did with the team, let me with New England, let me know, because I don't see it. Now, Todd Bowles says that Tom Brady doesn't get no special treatment, when it's crystal clear he does. Because I can guarantee you this, had he been in New England, Coach Belichick wouldn't allow none of the shit that he was doing at all. At all. Coach Belichick would have stopped. He'd have checked that shit at the door. None of that would have been going on. At all. None of it. I really don't want to say this, but I have to keep it real. This is also an indictment on Todd Bowles. Now, he was the coach for the Jets, which he really didn't do that much of a good job, but he didn't have nothing to work with. But y'all know how this goes in sports. When a black coach has a job, even if he doesn't have a squad, they expect you to work your miracle. And if you don't, they're going to let you go. He now comes into this situation where Bruce Arians resigns, but we all know what the reason with that was. Him and Brady was butting heads, and Brady wanted him out of there. And they just promoted Todd Bowles. That's what that was about. But now you can make a case that, shit, if Bruce Arians was the head coach, would Brady be doing what he's doing? But the point is this. When the man announced that he was retiring, he should have stayed retired. Because what he's doing right now, and he doesn't even know it, is he's messing up his legacy. He's messing it up. With this one season is messing up his legacy just a little bit. I'm not saying it's messing it up a lot, but he's messing it up in some way. Because for the longest, we've seen him as this squeaky clean, boring personality, all that shit. He comes to Tampa, he lets his hair down, the man drinking tequila shots after winning the championship, he's throwing the Lombardi trophy from one boat to another, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? All of that is good when you're winning, but now you're losing. And then on top of that, your stats are not showing. Now, I don't want to use the word wash. I don't want to use that word for him because I don't think he's washed. Because me personally, me thinking he's washed would just say, oh, he can't play the game no more. I'm sure he can still play the game. It's just, why still play? Why still? Like, you're willing to lose your wife over a fucking football? Like, seriously. Because I just read something just now where reports are saying Giselle is telling Brady to retire or she's gone for good. So there may be a chance that they could work this out. All he has to do is just leave the game alone. My dude, you have a Fox Sports contract. You got a job waiting for you as soon as you retire. 300 plus mil. And you still want to play football? Like, listen. I get it. You loved the pad work. You love the scrimmages. You love the 7-on-7s. You love the 11-for-11s. You love reading the playbook. You love studying. I'm not losing my family over no damn football, especially when I know for a fact that I have nothing to prove in this game. Nothing. Nothing at all. And with a fine woman like that, seriously? Like, come on, Tom. You got to do better, Tom. I'm sorry. Like, you my man at 100 grand, but something got to give, man. Something has got to give, man. And the season that you have is horrible. Very horrible. Let's just call it what it is. By far your worst. By far your worst. In 7 games. Just got to put that out there. Something's got to give. Something has got to seriously give. But off of Brady, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. This is somebody that a lot of people likes to deem better than Tom Brady. The thing that they always say is, oh, he could throw passes than Brady can only dream of making. He's more skilled than Brady. He's more talented than Brady. He could be all of those things. But I'll tell you one thing he's not better than Brady in, and that's being a team leader. See, what happens is when you get 4 MVPs and you got a Stephen A. Smith calling you the bad man, a lot of that shit gets washed. Take this past week, for example. He was doing an interview on the Pat McAfee show, and he basically threw his teammates under the bus, whether it was receivers, whether it was offensive line, whether it's the defense, or maybe it was even the coach. He was throwing everybody under the bus except one thing. He didn't hold himself accountable for his play at all. Now, mind you, he's not having that much of a shabby season either. He said, I'm doing what I think is best for our guys. And that's calling them out in front of the media. That's what's best for your team, to be calling out your team in front of the media. Now, I get calling out your teammates. That's what those player meetings are for. But you do it when it's just the players. You don't do it in front of coaches. You don't do it in front of training. And you damn sure don't do it in front of the media. But see, for years, this is what Aaron Rodgers has done. He's done this for years. For as long as I can remember, he has been doing this for years, where he will call out teammates, not by name, but they'll still call him out. But not once will he hold accountability for the way he's played. Now remember, I just gave y'all Brady stats. I just gave y'all Brady's numbers for this season. Aaron Rodgers has 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and seven games. He lost to the Giants and the Jets. Now, I'm happy that both teams are winning. I'm from New York. I want both of them to succeed. Just not at the expense of my guy Brady, but I want to see them succeed. You lost to 2 teams that you were supposed to dog walk over. But see, this is what happens. Listen, I remember when Brett Favre sabotaged the Green Bay Packers for years. When he didn't know if he wanted to retire. He didn't want to come to training camp. He didn't want to do any of those things. He sabotaged the Packers for mad years. Didn't know if he was going to retire. Didn't know if he was going to come back. All that shit, right? Guess what? For the past 3 years, Aaron Rodgers has done the same thing. Even to the point where his best receiver said, you know what? I'm going to take less money to go to Las Vegas and hook up with my college quarterback than to play with you and your drama. And then Aaron Rodgers talk about, oh, you know, I'm basically paraphrasing what I said. Nobody said anything to me about it. You know, and if they felt a certain way, you know, they could have came to me. You know, I like those type of conversations. First of all, if you did call out your rookie receivers or even your 2-year receivers, do you really think they're going to come to you and step to you? No, because they probably don't like you. I honestly think that the players on that Green Bay Packers team does not like Aaron Rodgers. I honestly feel that way. I honestly don't think they like him. But see, what happens is when you win these MVPs and people labeling you this bad man, your conduct and the way you treat the players on your team gets overlooked. That's why it kills me when people say, oh, he's better than Brady. He's better than Brady. Listen, you could throw all the passes in the world better than Brady. You can scramble better than Brady. You can do all that shit better than Brady. But there's two things that I value way more than all that other shit. And that's being a leader, and that's being a winner. And the last I checked, you have one Super Bowl to claim. And that was damn near 12 years ago. You got all these MVPs. Whoop-de-fucking-do. But you only got one Super Bowl to show for it. And you think you got the nerve to be calling out teammates and not holding yourself accountable for your game? Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. These quarterbacks be irking me sometimes, yo. I swear for God. That couldn't have been me. I couldn't have been a player in that locker room, whether I was a receiver or on the defensive side of the ball. You're not going to call me out. I don't care if you didn't do it by name. You're not going to call me out. You better chastise your game too, motherfucker, because guess what? You ain't playing that shabby either. Now let's get to Russell Wilson. Listen, I tell you what, I know Pete Carroll is on cloud nine right now. Pete Carroll is looking like a prophet right now. He is looking like a prophet right now because of the way Russell Wilson is playing in Denver. And I tell you what, Geno Smith, all those people that said bad things about him, they all owe him an apology. Because that man got the Seahawks, even though it's 4-3, they're one game over 500, but guess what? They in first place in their division. The Broncos is last in theirs, which is what I predicted anyway. Even when Russell Wilson went there, I still didn't think that they was going to be better than Kansas City. I didn't think they would be better than the Chargers. I still felt that they was going to be the last place team in that division. I always felt that way. We now get to issues within the team. I'm quite sure the same shit that's going on with Aaron Rodgers, as far as probably the teammates not liking him, I know for a fact there's players on Denver that don't like Russell Wilson. We've seen the memes where players are just looking at him sideways. Now I'm hearing some shit that he got his own office in Denver. Word? Like, just because you came here and got this money, you get your own office? Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I honestly don't know what it is with Russell Wilson. Like, I think Sierra's box got to his head. I truly do. Because, let's be real. He's a good quarterback, right? But let's be real. When he was with Seattle, we all know who was the reason for that success over there. We all know the reason for that. It was the defense. It was the Legion of Boom, and it was Marshawn Lynch. It was beast mode. Russell Wilson was the third wheel. Let's just call it what it is. He was a dope quarterback. Well, a good quarterback. But just right now, for these last 3 years, it's like, yo, this dude's head done got too big. You're trying to be something that you're not. And that's what's been going on for these last 3 years. You trying to be something that you're not. And your wife's box has clouded your judgment. And guess what? It might also then fucked up your game. Because this Denver Broncos team, you got 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. You didn't play the last game, but still, 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, that's no excuse, man. No excuse. With the money that they paying you, and this is what you bringing out, and with the receiving core that the Broncos have, come on. They got a nice team over there, and they're playing like shit because of their quarterback. Crazy. I tell you what, man. Let them lose this game this weekend against the Jaguars. Let them lose this game. Because I know for a fact, Bronco country, they ain't too happy with Russell Wilson. And I know they tired of him saying this, Broncos ride, all that shit. I know for a fact they tired of hearing him say that. Because guess what? You ain't holding up your end of the deal at all. You haven't held up your end of the deal this whole season. And something's got to give. What he should do is he should give them some of that money back. That's what he should do because he's playing like straight shit. So what they should do is take some of that money back. That's what they should do. I tell you what, the Seattle Seahawks fan base, I know they on cloud nine. I'm quite sure they're seeing all the drama in Denver right now with Russell Wilson, and they're breathing a breath of fresh air. Like, whew, I'm glad we done with him. I'm glad we done with him. Because Geno Smith, he's playing lights out. Well, let me not say he's playing lights out, but he damn sure playing better than Russell Wilson. Way better, for that matter. Way better. Russell Wilson got 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Geno Smith got 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I'm happy for Geno. I really am. But these three quarterbacks, man, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Listen, we might be on the verge of changing of the guards, you can say. Because, I mean, Russell Wilson, I wouldn't put him in the same era as Brady, but he has put in enough time to the point where he's not included in this generation of the quarterbacks. Like the Joe Burrows, the Justin Herberts, the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Like, those are the quarterbacks of the future. In fact, I'll say it, they're the quarterbacks of now because it's their game now. It's their game now. It's just a matter of when those three quarterbacks say, you know what, enough is enough, it's just time to hang it up. Because me personally, I don't think Russell Wilson is built for this shit no more. I honestly don't. I think he's more concerned with being a star, a celebrity, Sierra's husband. I think he's more concerned with that than what's going on the football field. Aaron Rodgers, he's just a horrible leader. He's just a horrible teammate. I don't see him being traded because of that contract of his. So he's just going to stay in Green Bay and be miserable. Just give the Vikings the division because they got that under lock and key right now. And then Brady, listen. Brady, just retire when this season is over. I know you did a press conference, and you said that you don't see yourself retiring after the season. You was on a podcast saying that you're not thinking about retiring, but I honestly think you need to, man. In all seriousness, I honestly think you need to just retire after this season. Ride this season out and just leave the game the fuck alone. Get your wife, get your family. Do not lose those things over a goddamn football. And that's exactly what you're doing right now. Which is crazy to me. That shit is baffling to me. That shit is crazy, man. That shit, man, I don't get it, man. I don't. But anyway, man, that's all I got to say about that. Your boy's going to take a quick little break. I'm going to hydrate on some water. And when your boy gets back, we are going to get into my offensive and defensive players of the week for week 7. And then I'm going to give my game picks for week 8. This is Dre Day from Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. Your boy will be right back. Holla at your boy.
It's time for Dre Day's offensive and defensive players of the week. Lovely.
What time it is? It's time for Dre Day Weekly's picks.
What up, what up, what up? Your boy is back. It is now time for Dre Day's Week 7 Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week Awards. First off, you know I got to do offense first. I'm an offense guy, you know. When I played sports, I was an offensive guy. Didn't really care too much for defense. So, yeah, I'm really going to be biased when it comes to offense. But let's get to it. Dre Day's Offensive Player of the Week goes to Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, yes, it was against the Falcons. Yeah, but... shit. 481 passing yards. Damn near 12 yards a pass. 12 yards of completion, basically. So basically, every pass he threw was a first down. He had a QBR of 82. 3 touchdowns, and most importantly, the big one, he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't turn the ball over. Because had he turned the ball over, I probably would have had to give it to somebody else. Even with these numbers, I probably would have had to give it to somebody else. So, yes, Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals is my offensive player of the week for week number 7. Now let's get to my defensive player of the week. My defensive player of the week goes to Marco Wilson of the Arizona Cardinals. He had a, well, first off, he had 3 tackles. He had a pick six. But the pick six was so iconic that everybody was showing it on their sport channels. And it was doing it in slow motion. And I thought that shit was so dope, the way they did it. So... yeah, I'm going to give him my defensive player of the week award for week number 7. With that being said, now it is time to go into my picks for week number 8. Okay, let's get to it, shall we? My picks for week number 8. Thursday night football. We start off with the Ravens and the Buccaneers. Now, I know some of the games is now I know a lot of the games for Thursday night have been on Prime Video, right? And we went 2 weeks straight with just horrible football on Thursday. Last week, we had a better one with the Saints and the Cardinals. I think this game will be no different. Ravens and the Buccaneers. First of all, the Buccaneers need this win. And they need it in the worst way. They're under 500. This is the first time Brady has had to deal with this since 2002. A year which they didn't make the playoffs in New England. And more importantly than that, when it comes to primetime games, as of recently, Tampa is not that good. I can only think of 3, since Brady has been in Tampa, I can only think of 3 primetime wins. Whether it was Sunday Night Football, whether it was Monday Night Football or Thursday, I can only think of 3. Maybe four. I think they beat the Giants last year, Monday Night Football. I believe they beat the Eagles. I think that was Thursday Night Football. I think these were two wins last season. They beat New England. And they beat the Cowboys twice. So that's five wins. So in 3 years, Tampa has won five games on primetime. They've lost to the Rams. They've lost to the Chiefs twice. They've got blowed out by New Orleans one time. And then they lost to New Orleans again and couldn't score a point. They need this win. Oh, and the Chiefs. So they need this primetime win. So not only do they need the primetime win, they just need a win, period. But I honestly don't know if this offense can get it together. I honestly do not know. And then on top of that, do I really think this defense is going to stop Lamar Jackson? So this might be, this is like, y'all might as well record this. Save this. I got the Ravens. Yep, this game, I am going against my man Brady. I am going with the Baltimore Ravens to get the win on Thursday Night Football. I'm going with the Ravens. Next, we got the Jaguars and the Broncos. This is another London game. I'm going to go with the Jags, yo. I'm going to go with the Jags. I like this Jags team. I honestly do. They're a lot better than what they were last year with Urban Meyer. I'm going to go with the Jags. Listen, it's a lot of drama in Denver. I'm sure the players don't like Russell Wilson. I'm quite sure they don't like Nathaniel Hackett, or however you say his last name. So it's turmoil in Denver right now. So just off of it's not really momentum for the Jags neither, because they're 2-5, but they're playing hard. So with that, I'm going to go with the Jags to beat the Denver Broncos. Yes, I'm going to do that. I got the Jags beating the Denver Broncos. Next, we got the Panthers and the Falcons. I'm going to go with the Falcons. I mean, I don't trust neither one of these teams, but if the Falcons really want to have some type of momentum going in to this weekend, all they need is for the Bucs to lose. And if they do, and if they beat the Panthers, they will then have first place in the NFC South. So I got the Falcons beating the Panthers. Next, we got the Bears and the Cowboys. I am going with the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, the Bears just lost Quinn to the Eagles. I just don't see the Bears going to Dallas to get in the win. I honestly don't. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. Next, we got the Dolphins and the Lions. I'm going with the Dolphins. Tua is back. I kind of didn't like him, you know, scrambling and running against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. It was one play where I definitely was nervous for him because he led with his head when, you know, he tried to, you know, scramble for the first down. He led with his head. He got the first down, but my dude, you just had a concussion and was out a few weeks ago. And instead of sliding, you're going with your head. Like, come on, my dude. Come on, man. Come on. Come on, Tua. You got to be smarter. We're glad you're back, but come on now. Next, we got the Cardinals and the Vikings. I am going with the Vikings. they could really put a chokehold on this division if they was to get the win against the Cardinals. And I think they will. They're at home. So I definitely have them beating the Arizona Cardinals. Next, we got the Saints and we got the Raiders. I don't trust Andy Dalton. They said Jameis might be healthy, but they still might go with Andy Dalton. With that being said, I am going with the Raiders. I know the Saints are a different team when they're in that dome, but I'm gonna go with the Raiders on this one. Next, we got the Patriots and the Jets. Storied rivalry in the AFC. I would say storied rivalry of football, but I wouldn't really call that one of the great rivalries in football. I mean, obviously, you got the Cowboys and Eagles, Cowboys and, well, the Washington football team, because you can't call them Redskins anymore. Ravens, Steelers, Bears, Packers. I wouldn't put the Patriots and Jets in that echelon, but it is a rivalry nonetheless. The Jets are riding high, 5-2. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. Coach Belichick has already announced that Mac Jones will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. He struggled a lot on Monday Night Football against the Bears, to the point where Coach Belichick benched him and put Zappe in. So it's clear he's still dealing with that ankle injury. These Jets are riding high, and it's in MetLife. So that crowd is going to be raucous. I am going with the Jets to win this game against Coach Belichick and the New England Patriots. Next, we got the Battle of Pennsylvania. We got the Steelers and we got the Eagles. I am going with the Eagles. Listen, there's been a lot of talk about if the Eagles can run the table and go undefeated. If they was to get a loss, they damn sure ain't going to lose it to the Steelers at all. I have the Eagles beating the Steelers. Next, we got the Titans and we got the Texans. The Titans are riding a 4-game winning streak at the start of the season, 0-2. So I am going to go with the Titans. I do not see Tennessee beating this team at all. Next, we got the Commanders and the Colts. I'm not sure if Carson Wentz is going to play. But if he does, he's going to be playing his former team. The team he was with last year was a disappointment with them and then wound up being with the Washington Commanders. And that would be the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Ryan is already out. I really don't know who I'm going with this game. This is one of those don't nobody care type games that Coach Prime used to say. So I honestly do not know who I'm going with. But you know what? I'm going to go with the Colts just because they're at home. I just hope Jonathan Taylor just goes to work. So with that, I'm going to go with the Colts to pull off this win. I go with the Colts to beat the Washington Commanders. I have the Niners over the Rams. Next, we got the Giants and the Seahawks. Listen, I am very impressed with this Giants team. Very impressed. Both New York teams. I did not see this coming. I did not see the Jets being 5-2, and I damn sure didn't see the Giants being 6-1. But since I have seen it, I'm very impressed. I think Brian Daboll is the coach of the year. so far this season. Daniel Jones is playing good. I'm not saying he's playing great, but he's playing good. And most importantly, he's not turning the ball over. Saquon is Saquon, as long as he is healthy. The Seahawks, 4-3, Geno. Listen, I know the consensus out there says Patrick Mahomes, MVP, Josh Allen, MVP, Jalen Hurts, MVP. Shit, you can make a case right now that Geno should be in that conversation. Yes, I said it. You can make a case that Geno Smith can be in the MVP conversation. Now, do I think he will win it? Absolutely not. But he could definitely be in the conversation. Most definitely. Most definitely he can be. Absolutely he can be. The Seahawks running game with Walker III. If he can have the games that he has had as of late, which was, he had 167 against the Chargers. Now, do I think he's going to do that against the Giants? Probably not. To my little homie Munchie, I love you to death. I've watched you become an amazing father to your daughter. I remember when you was in your diapers, running up and down the streets, cursing up a storm. You the little homie. You're like a nephew to me. I know you used to get at me for not picking your Giants. Now, recently I have. But this weekend, I got to go with the Seahawks. I'm sorry, Munchie. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, little homie. Don't kill me. And I know if y'all win, you're going to tag me on Facebook and see, oh, see, that's what you get for not picking my team, big homie. I know you're going to do it, and I'm ready for it. But I think that 12th man is going to play a huge factor this weekend against the New York Football Giants. I think it'll be a good game. Let me just say that. I think it'll be a good game, but I got the Seattle Seahawks beating the Giants this weekend. Sunday night football, we got the Bills and the Packers. Listen, the Bills. Well, the Packers are sitting on house money, right? Nobody expects them to win this game. Nobody. Aaron Rodgers even said that. He said with the turmoil that's going on in Green Bay right now, basically what he said was, This couldn't have happened at the right time because nobody expects them to go to Buffalo and win. So I'm supposed to believe that on primetime television, Sunday night football, which they had a Sunday night football game already this season, and that was against the Bears, but it was at home. Do I really trust these young receivers to go into enemy territory, which is Bills Mafia? Do I trust that they can go there and put up a fight against the Bills? I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I got the Bills beating the Green Bay Packers. Shit, they got them as an 11.5. They got them as an 11.5 point favorite. Bills Mafia. I got the Bills winning. Then we got Monday Night Football on Halloween. Ooh. The Battle of Ohio. So we got the Battle of Pennsylvania and we got the Battle of Ohio this weekend. We got the Cincinnati Bengals and we got the Cleveland Browns. I am going with the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going with the Bengals to get the dub against the Cleveland Browns. After the past week that Joe Burrow just had, I'm not saying he's going to go over there and get, you know, close to 400 yards on that Cleveland's defense, but I do have Cincinnati winning this game for sure. Definitely. Definitely. So, to recap, I have the Ravens for Thursday Night Football. I have the Jags, Falcons, Cowboys, Dolphins, Vikings, Raiders, Jets, Eagles, Titans, Colts, Niners, Seahawks, Bills for Sunday Night Football, and Bengals for Monday Night Football. So those are my picks for week 8. Oh, and last week I was 10-4 with my record. That was by far my best record so far this season with my picks. I was 11-5 in week 5, and I was 10-4 in week number 7. So let's see what happens with week 9, because it seems like with the odd numbers, I'm on a good record when it comes to the odd numbers, at least for week 5 and week 7. The odd numbers, which was week 3 and week 1, I don't even want to get into those, but let's see what happens with week 9. But with that being said, it is a wrap for this episode. And I want to give a quick shout out. But this shout out is not sports related. I have a couple of birthday shout outs because, you know, it's Scorpio season. You know what I'm saying? It's Scorpio season, and there's so many fellow Scorpios to shout out. And the first one I want to shout out is my cousin Rashida. Her birthday is October 27th, so I definitely want to shout her out. I want to shout out my man Xavier that I went to high school with. His birthday was the 26th. I want to shout out my Aunt Denise. Her birthday is the 29th. I want to shout out my boy Kev that I used to work with on Halloween. And last but not least, I want to shout myself out. I want to shout myself out, and I want to shout out my twin brother Darren, because our birthday is November 1st. And when this episode drops, you know, which will be this weekend, our birthday will be Tuesday. So I might as well shout us out now, because I ain't going to be recording nothing on my birthday. You know what I mean? You ain't going to get another episode from me to late next week. So I might as well shout all of us out now. Shit, for that, I might as well shout out some Scorpio celebs as well. Sierra. Her birthday, I believe, was the 25th. My Southern Belle, Monica. Her birthday. Scorpio gang as well. You know what I mean? And last but not least, the British songstress, Ella May. Three beautiful Scorpio queens. Oh, no. No. I forgot one. Nia Long. Yes, she's a Scorpio too. Nia Long is a Scorpio too. So, yes, the Fantastic Four. Sierra, Monica, Ella May, and Nia Long. Now, that was a lot of shout-outs. Now, this episode is done. I want to thank everybody for their support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Podbean. Y'all can also download the Anchor app. Y'all can find me on Facebook, Dre Day, Sports Web with Dre Day Podcast on Instagram, Dre Day 1985 on Instagram. The link is in the bio, and on Twitter, Dre Day 1985. So once again, for everybody out there, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 280 is done. It's in the books. It's a wrap. To everyone out there, I might as well say it now. This Halloween, be safe. Please be safe, because it's already wicked in these streets as it is. These assholes will do everything in their power to make the streets even more spooky for Halloween. So to everyone out there that's going to trick or treat with their kids or just roam and groom, just please be careful out there. Be safe out there. And again, it's a wrap for this episode. Y'all stay safe. Be safe. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man, Dre Day, And I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com, or call him at 443-810-0384.